Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guests, Steve Elliott and Kenny Burnett, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
You got a minute? I want to tell you a story. Have you heard about Destination Delco? We're great bars and restaurants. We're ethnic neighborhoods. We're the Main Line and the Brandywine. We're different things to different people. We're a little brassy, but oh so classy. We're main streets and back roads, marinas and museums. We're nightlife and, yes, wildlife. We're Destination Delco, a new way to experience Delaware County.
I've been wanting to do this program for a long time since I arrived here in Bedford County, and today we're speaking with two members of the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society. The organization was founded in 1959 and has been going strong ever since. It is made up by a group of amateur radio operators, and we're going to learn from our two guests exactly what a ham radio operator is. But first, let me introduce you to Kenny Burnett, who is an old-time resident of Bedford County and has been an amateur radio operator since the 1970s, and also Steve Elliott. Kind of an immigrant. He's been here almost 20 years, but I've learned in Bedford that you got to be here like forever before they really accept you completely. And he has been an amateur radio operator since the 1980s. So first of all, I want to thank you both for joining us today. And Steve, in particular, thank you very much. You have been very involved in this club since you started here, and you've had a long background in radio. I understand you were in the military for many years. Tell me a little bit about your life as a ham operator and maybe what you've been doing in communications.
Actually, as a kid, I had neighbors who were into ham radio, and I always thought, well, I'd love to do that. And then was always busy doing something else. And finally, in the mid-80s, got into it. But it really helped me out in the military. I was 3 years Marine Corps and 27 in the Army. But in the Army, I'd have my amateur radio equipment with me. And there's a lot of times we used my equipment when other means of communications didn't work. It's just been a great hobby. And I believe that we do a lot of community service work that really helps the communities throughout the country and throughout the world.
Kenny, can you give us a little sketch on how this whole thing started, amateur radio? How old is it?
Well, amateur radio has been around for 100-plus years. Basically, how it started, just people were curious, I guess, back in the day about radio transmissions and receiving and transmitting their own stuff, other versus commercial, what they were hearing. You know, they were wanting to talk to other people in different places of the world via homemade gear, right? You know, because there was no commercial gear back then.
And that's the component, isn't it? It's homemade gear. It's experimentation. You do it to this day, don't you?
Yeah, there's still a lot of kits to be had and built, you know, starting from scratch with a big box of components. And, you know, nowadays, of course, you don't have to figure it out all by yourself. You know, it comes with a big book of instructions along with a whole lot of little parts that have smoke in them.
Amateur radio really started the whole technical revolution, didn't it? I mean, they were kids back in the 1920s fooling around with this stuff. And next thing you know, we have electronic radio and television.
Actually, it goes back over 100 years. ARRL, American Radio Relay League, celebrated 100 years this year, actually. And, but people was experimenting 100 years ago or so and came up with spark gap transmission where they get the did-all by spark jumping in a gap. But ARRL, American Radio Relay League, formed a group throughout the country as prior to telephones and telegraph and all kinds of communications equipment. And they would relay information around the United States using the spark gap system, CW, Morse code. And it just grew from that, really. It went from CW to voice, and then we got into single sideband and FM. But most of the progress in communications by going into sideband or AM amplitude modulating to single sideband FM came from amateurs experimenting. It was not the industry that came up with that. It was amateur radios experimenting, trying to improve their capabilities to transmit messages around the world. TV actually came from amateur radio operators, the first development of TV. But it's just been, to look back at the people that have been ham radio operators before us and all they've contributed to the world of communication systems and development is just an awesome thing. It's a legacy that is on us to keep going and keep improving on equipment and antennas.
I think people also should understand that a lot of the technical breakthroughs in electronics were actually made by ham operators, such as E. Howard Armstrong, who invented FM, and the Super Heterodyne circuit, and people like Vladimir Zworykin, who developed television. These guys were all licensed amateur operators, and it's interesting they became famous, but it was early experimentation. In fact, it's often been compared to today's computers, when so many young people are so proficient in computers, and us older folks today aren't as much. Really back in, as you said, in the 1910s and 1920s, these were young people then. They were 13, 14 years old experimenting with this new technology. And next thing you know, they're talking to people all over the world. Our two guests are Steve Elliott, who, by the way, I forgot to mention, his call sign is KA3UDR, and Kenny, who is WB3JEK. And along those lines, Kenny, can you explain why you got a call sign in the first place? What do you have to go through to get a call sign from the Federal Communications Commission? And you did this when, in 1970-something?
Yeah, 1977, I got my mm-hmm. first amateur radio call, which is the same call I have today. Mm-hmm. My interest in radio started early 70s. I was living in Ohio at the time, and this is during the big CB boom. 11 meters, chicken band, whatever you might want to call it.
Citizens band, really?
Citizens
like the
band.
Kind of truckers talk on that.
Oh, yes, you know, Channel 9 React, which was, you know, kind of an emergency type of channel that they reserved at that time. That Citizens band, you know, would come into play, you know, in an emergency situation or something like that. I believe React's still a viable thing throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, my interest in CB radio evolved into amateur radio even prior to my leaving Ohio. And once I got back from Ohio into Pennsylvania, I pursued that and got my novice license. A local Bedford County ham gave me my novice license. And then, 6-8 months later, I went to Dayton, Ohio and upgraded to a general class license.
And these are the two classes of licenses that you were taking at the time. Now, who was the local ham that helped you?
James O'Rourke.
And he is still here?
Yeah, he's still living down in the Clearville area. Yeah.
Steve, that's a common theme, isn't it? That there's always an amateur, which in the amateur radio ranks they call an Elmer, who help somebody start out. Whether they be young or old, there's always somebody kind of to lend them a helping hand.
That's true. Yeah. And I think it's always been a tradition that you bring new hams on and you help develop them, help them progress from, they've done away with the novice. It's you go technician, general, and extra class today. But the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society really works hard to license new people and to help them achieve that rank of extra class. And it's just... Well, you become family, actually. We just help each other out. We look after each other. We think about each other. And the amateur radio community is just a great community, but it's like a big family. I've talked to a guy for 20 years and never met him, but I really enjoy talking to him. And I should one of these days go meet him somewhere, at least have a cup of coffee and talk to him face to face. But it's just it's more than a hobby. You become family, and then again, it makes you feel good when you're able to help your community out in case of a disaster. We do a lot of work with spatial events here in the county, bicycle races, marathons, boat races, this, that, and the other. It's a great time. It really is.
I think, too, and we're going to get into the public service aspect of this in the second half of our program, but this is not just a bunch of people talking on the radio. This equipment and these skills, these communication skills, are practiced by the members of the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society into an organization which they call ARES RACES. Now, these are two acronyms that stand for the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. And, Steve, can you explain a little bit about how those two components work inside the BCARS operation?
Most of the members of the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society, but not all, belong to the Bedford County ARES RACES group. Normally, if there was an emergency locally, we could be called up under the ARES program. And if it's really widespread, then it'll be same members actually just put on a different hat and become RACES members. But we have in the county manned communications for shelters for power outages during the winter. And we do hold a weather watch net in case of foul weather. Our members were some of the first to report a tornado that hit in June of 2014. We pretty well followed that, called State College and give them our report on that. So
you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. This is Lloyd Roach, and my guest today is Steve Elliott and Kenny Burnett of the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society. And just a little reminder that the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And also our sponsors today are Destination Delco in Delaware County and also Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right here in Bedford County. When we return, we're going to learn specifically a lot about how these folks actually perform in an emergency and how you too can get your license to become an amateur radio operator when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe, or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Our guests today are Steve Elliott and Kenny Burnett, who are amateur radio operators, KA3UDR and WB3JEK, respectively. And these folks are very involved volunteers. You hear about volunteer everything in Bedford County. And by the way, Bedford County is just a hotbed of volunteerism. There's all sorts of things going on. But these folks are pretty unique in that they create their own communication systems, purchase their own equipment, maintain their own equipment, and then set up systems to actually perform the services that people ask them to do. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to Steve a little bit about the public service aspect of this and how we work with the county, state, and federal government with respect to this. But first, I want to turn to Kenny. Kenny, the licensing of amateur radio can be formidable to some people. I think they feel like, oh, it's a hard test. I'm going to have to learn all this theory about electronics and FCC regulations. And is it hard? I mean, can a regular, normal, person right here in Bedford County handle this, or do they have to be an electrical engineer or something?
Oh, no. That's why they call it amateur radio. No, it is a little bit involved as far as the testing goes. Many years ago, they dropped the code part of the testing, which I believe was a big holdup for a lot of people about learning code.
We're talking about the Morse code.
Yeah, right? Morse code.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
when I was first licensed, I had to learn Morse code. In fact, when I had my novice ticket, that was the only thing I was allowed to do on several different bands was Morse code. The next step that I took was to general class, which gave me phone privileges on pretty much every band that is allotted to the American amateur. But the testing, as far as that goes, the higher the class of license, the more involved and detailed that the licensing questions are. The technician is relatively easy to learn. There are parts of theory of radio, along with knowledge of Part 97, which are the rules and regulations of amateur operation. But and then each step of license that you go up, it becomes more involved. But, you know, here in Bedford, our club, we do this every couple months. We'll have a study session for the different types of radio class license where, you know, we'll sit down with people. We have information and study guides that people can, study up on. And then, you know, when they feel they become proficient enough, we have testing, which used back in the day, you used to have to go to Baltimore, quite a ways away from Bedford.
You had to go to the FCC.
We had to go to the FCC to be checked and tested. But today there are volunteer examiners. I'm one. Steve's one. That we can do this testing. It all goes through the ARRL and then to the FCC. You know, so it's become quite a lot simpler to become an amateur radio operator as time has passed.
The ARRL that Kenny is referring to is actually an acronym for the American Radio Relay League, which is the national organization for amateur operators, and has been around 100 years this year. They're celebrating their 100th year. So, Steve, we're armed with this ham radio license, and we want to get involved in the public service aspects of this. So what's the first step as the emergency coordinator for Bedford County for amateur radio? What do you do? What do you suggest to these hams that are either newly licensed or have been licensed a long time? What kind of training do they have to go through for this?
We found that the sooner we can get newly licensed hams on the radio, the more apt to keep them active in the ham community, the amateur radio community, for need be. A few years back, we had a small earthquake come up from the south to the north. We linked the computers, the repeaters into the system that was affected and cut everything else out that was not affected. It really makes for a great communication system. But by getting them on a handheld radio so where they can get into the repeaters, then the club members will help them work with getting a mobile setup. In Bedford County, we're kind of a rural district, and we've found that good mobile units are really, really important for communication for emergencies. But for the most part, getting a vehicle set up with good UHF, VHF equipment. There's a tracking program, APRS, that we can can track each other for an emergencies and know where each other's at, and that really helps too. But it takes a long time, really, to unless you have a lot of money to go out and put everything, antennas and all the gear in your vehicle. That's really makes you really useful. But we can work with a handheld radio and. But the more equipment you have in a vehicle that we can dispatch you with, is the more valuable you become to the emergency communications group here in the county.
I got a question. Anyone listening to this is probably saying, well, he's talking about repeaters and VHF handheld radios. But wait a minute. I got a cell phone right here in my car. I've got this little iPhone thing, and what do I need you guys for? I mean, I've got this in an emergency. I'll just get on my cell phone and call my relatives and tell them I'm okay.
It's usually not the case. It's probably been 2 years since I've actually worked a real-world emergency. I helped out after a tornado, actually during and after a tornado that came up along the Ohio River, right, bounced back and forth from Indiana to Louisville, Kentucky, and on up into southern Ohio. And we found that within probably 30 minutes of the first touchdown of this tornado, cell phones were overloaded and went down. Plus, the government will take a big percentage of the band space on the cell phones for their emergency communication.
So also the physical damage of losing a cell phone tower, but as you correctly pointed out, it's really the overwhelming traffic that ends up on a cell phone in the event of emergency, because everybody gets on their phone at once and crashes the system, much like they would crash an internet site. Is that sounds
about
right?
It always happens. I know people that's been involved in hurricanes, Louisiana, Florida, and they always said that. So within 30 minutes, your cell phones are overloaded and crashed because there's not the system is reduced anyhow because of the damage to cell phone towers. But yeah, it always you can count on it being down for 48 hours. Most hams, we can communicate, get information, and we've done this a lot. People are in an affected area, and they would like to let family members know that maybe out of state, out of the area, that they're okay. Phones are down, cell phones are down. That pretty well leaves ham radio operators. So we have groups that'll go set up in these areas. People can go get a hold of, get to them, and they can contact people in other states, counties, cities throughout the nation, actually throughout the world. And we can send message to them and say, hey, Lucky, your daughter, her husband, and all the kids are safe. They're in a shelter such and such place. And if you need to get a message back to them, we'd be glad to relay that back to them. And right here in Western PA, we have the Western Pennsylvania Phone Traffic Handlers Net. We practice daily. Every day there's a net, and we get together and we practice sending messages for emergencies. And it works. The system works. A lot of amateur radio operators will have a phone patch system in their house where someone could be maybe in Florida and not be able to communicate with loved ones, family, and we can patch that right through on radio to radio to a phone and let people actually speak to their relation and say, hey, Mom, Dad, we're okay, and we'll let you know when we get back to our house and how much damage is done. And you always, when you send a message like this, get people in contact, you always make it known to the people, Mom, Dad, whoever it is, that if you need to get a message back to them, we can do that for you.
Now, Kenny, in recent months, there have been several activities here in Bedford County where I guess everyone has noticed, specifically fall foliage, that all of a sudden at the top of the parking lot there on Penn Street in downtown Bedford appears this great big antenna on top of this tower with all these wires hanging out from it. So as president of the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society, is this one of your events that you do every year?
Yes, it is. It just kind of help out for the like the Fall Foliage Festival or something like that. Just additional communications. We have several of our radio operators that are members of the club roaming around in amongst the crowds, or be stationed one place or another at bus stops or you know, various places there where somebody needs some help or something. It's just additional eyes and ears that are out among the crowd to help out if needed. You know, somebody trips, falls down, skins their knee up or something like that. You know, we could get a hold of an ambulance or you know, med person to come down to that area. you know, the borough police here in Bedford, they can only cover so much. We're just additional eyes and ears amongst the crowd.
And Kevin Hansen, who is the president of the Bedford County Full Foliage Festival, told us in a program we did with him that the ham operators actually found for them a disabled person this past year. And you did this through the use of your volunteers.
Yeah. We were lucky to be close enough to, you know, one of our members was lucky enough to be close enough to this individual and was able to call back to our main location. And we contacted the personnel that needed to be there and the people that were looking for the individual.
And, Steve, I understand that part of your role as emergency coordinator is you work with the professionals in this business, specifically David Cubison, who is the emergency management manager for Bedford County. And he's actually set up a room in the 911 center for your activities for the emergency communications.
Yeah, we do have a really nice setup at the courthouse right off the 911 center. They give us a phone line that is ours. That phone's also tapped in, like intercom, to the rest of the members at 911. We have high frequency. UHF is ultra high frequency, and VHF is very high frequency equipment there. We have a computer that we can get hooked to a phone line if we need to get in there. We get really good support from our county. We really do. The county commissioners show up for events that we're at, and they talk to us, and they seem real pleased at events with the communications we have to support the community. And we have a really good working relationship with the county.
Well, let me ask you, if for some reason, highly unlikely because their equipment's very sophisticated, but for some reason that the 911 center communications failed, could the amateur radio operators from the Bedford County Amateur Radio Society jump in and provide any kind of backup?
We could, and we practice that. And, yeah, it'd be rare for the system to go down, but it has. Blair County has a real sophisticated system, and it went down not too long ago. And the Amish Radio Club in Blair County was able to help them out. If need be, we're on standby to do so. A lot of us have generators that we can pack up and take with us. And again, a good mobile radio in Bedford County is that really the key to for us for emergency communications.
Well, Steve, thank you. And Kenny, just we have about a minute left, so let me just ask you, if I were someone who was interested in ham radio operation, is there a website that I can go to learn more about your club?
Yeah, there is. It's bcars.org. Mm-hmm.
So it's bcars.org. Okay.
And there's a lot of information on that website as to a lot of our involvement, of what our club has done, you know, in the county. There's archive things on there, you know, back through the years and stuff, and along with future things that we are planning to do, which, you know, some of it is testing and helping people get into amateur radio.
Well, Kenny Burnett, WB3JEK, and Steve Elliott, KA3UDR. And I failed to mention that Kenny actually lives in the borough of Bedford, and Steve lives in nearby Man's Choice. We want to thank you both very much for coming on the program, and thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it very much. And if you'd like to learn more about amateur radio, you might want to take Kenny's suggestion and visit bcars.org. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. If you'd like to hear today's program again, just visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday, beginning at 8:30, to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.